I've got a message for you that is near and dear to my heart, and I hope that you're blessed by this message, and that it actually touches you in such a way that there's a change that happens to you today. I want you to walk out this door different than you came in. And you know, we've had some talks recently that were very good messages, and I'm going to kind of continue on that same line. Pastor Eric, a few weeks back, if you recall, spoke about the difference between task and identity. Our job, our position, our title does not define us. It is simply a task that the Lord has called us to, which may change many times in our life. When our task changes, it has no bearing on our identity, our esteem, our value, or our salvation. If it does, then there's something wrong. There's something inside of us that we need to overcome. Our identity comes from Christ and is assured by the work of redemption on the cross. There's nothing you can do to add to it. There's nothing you can do to subtract from it. The value of every human being is exactly the same price. It's priceless. Greg, can you put up that screen with that coin, please? The value of every human being is based on what someone would pay for it. I've been investigating coins recently. I've got some interest in coins and collecting. This one's a little bit out of my range, but I want to tell you about it. This is a 1794 Liberty dollar. 1795? Okay. This sold about 4 years ago for $7.85 million. It sold about a month ago for over $10 million. You're looking at about $28 worth of silver, if you melt that down. Now, I don't know about you, but I look at that and say, I just don't see it. I don't see $10 million in that thing. But you know, an interesting thing, there are people out there, and there's a fair amount of them. Probably we don't know those people, but there's a fair amount of people that are happy to spend $10 million to get that coin and put that in their coin collection. I want you to take a look at another screen. That screen with the chemicals. This is what you're made out of. These are your chemicals. And they all have I know you can't see it, but they have prices attached to them on the right. And if you total the pricing up, you are worth $160. That's what the cost of the chemicals would be to make you up. Now, let's take a look at it from God's perspective and what he says we're worth. John 3:16, you might know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Timothy 2 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Can you show the slide with the cross? That's your value. The Son of God values us so much that he was willing to come and give his life for us. Worth far more than that coin. Worth far more than the chemicals you're made out of. So the value of every human being is the value of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what is that price? Priceless. You can't put a number on it. You can't put a value on it. There is nothing greater. I want you to get a perspective of that. Thank you, Greg. I want you to get a perspective of who you are and what your value is. Each and every one of us. It doesn't matter, even if you're out there on a run. God looks at us the same way. God looks at the inside. God knows who we are. Man looks at the outside. So I want you to just have that perspective in your mind on when we go down this road of your value and your worth comes from Christ and Christ alone. It doesn't come from your work, your status, your job, your position, your title. It doesn't come from that. That is maybe a task the Lord has for you for a season, but he moves us on from task to task, as Pastor Eric talked about. Then Mike spoke more on that identity, and identity comes from what most people say to us. People have sown things into our life. They say things to us as we grow up, and most of these things, a lot of these things have not been right. They've been lies. And so what we need to do is rewrite those words that were spoken into us with the words of God. Remember last week Mike passed out the scriptures and we read the scriptures and I don't know if you experienced it, but when we read the scriptures and you put your name in place of the name that was there, it became personal and it touched your heart when you spoke it. Do you remember that? Okay. The words that are spoken to us become part of us, and in order to get over the lies, we have to renew our minds with the truth of what God says about us. Believing our true identity in Christ will transform us out of bondage and into liberty. 2 Corinthians 3 says that now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. How many of you were in bondage and now you're free? I'm free. I'm free. If you're not free, stick around. We need to talk. Then Richard spoke on the person of the Holy Spirit and how we have to have him living inside of us to lead us and guide us into all truth. He is the power that transforms us into these new creations. But we have to be willing to follow where the Holy Spirit leads us. And I promise you, he will lead you out of your comfort zones. Yes. Just as he led Abram and so many others. If you would take a look, we're going to talk about Genesis 12. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. What would happen if Abram didn't go? What if he was not willing to leave his comfort zones? There would be no blessing. There would be no new land. There would be no great nation. And there'd be no protection. That's what the scripture tells us. If he didn't follow God's leading. If we want these promises of God, we need to follow God through the hard thing. We have to be willing to leave our comfort zones and be uncomfortable as we walk by faith into the new thing, staying there until it becomes comfortable and the old thing becomes uncomfortable. If you don't know, I had struggled with alcohol. I used to be an alcoholic. I'm no longer an alcoholic. God has healed me by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Alcohol was a comfort zone. I was comfortable with it. God had a different idea in mind for me. He wanted me to be comfortable in sobriety. So when he brings us from glory to glory, one of the ways we can look at that is, I was in a place that maybe not so glorious, but he wanted to move me to a higher place that was more glorious. I was comfortable here, in this area of alcoholism. He wanted me to move up here into a place called sobriety. What's in between is the wilderness. It's the uncomfortable zone. It's the place I don't want to go. It's the place that I have to confront so I can go through the fire of the cleansing of the Holy Spirit that will transform me and bring me from glory to glory. This is hard. This is not easy. But this is the way this works. And in order to do this, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to move. That's why so many people get stuck in these comfort zones and don't move. They don't they don't have the Holy Spirit because they haven't received Jesus Christ, or they turn their head away and don't follow the Holy Spirit's leading. So we need to learn to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. Abram left his family, friends, community, everything that was familiar, he was familiar with, but instead of hanging on to the comfortable and the familiar, he let go and followed God immediately. So we see in the scriptures that he didn't bargain, he didn't negotiate with God. He heard the message from God, he packed up and he left town. He didn't say, well, God, I don't want to leave my town, I don't want to leave my family, I'm comfortable. He didn't make no argument for it. He just packed up and left. So let me ask you, are you willing to let go of your family, your friends, your community, all that you're comfortable and familiar with? Are you willing to leave anything for God? What are your comfort zones? Who are your family, your friends, and your community? Character defects become comfort zones. What are character defects? Definition? It means a shortcoming, a fault, or imperfection, lack or want, especially of something essential to perfection or completeness. It's a deficiency. Character defect is not a good thing. It means there's something wrong with you. It's like you got defective parts. What does that mean in our life, in practicality? Fears, pride, jealousy, anger, greed, unbridled tongue, judgment, lust. Just a few examples. God is more interested in our holiness and our character than he is about our comfort. Unless you have attained perfect holiness and godlike character, you have things that you need to overcome. Can anyone here claim perfect holiness? I can't. The only one is Jesus Christ, and he's referred to as the Holy One in the Bible 44 times. Let me say very clearly, God loves you. He wants to have a personal, intimate, eternal relationship with you. He wants to bless you, he wants to give you new land, and he wants to protect you. The only thing preventing or limiting you in this experience is you. God's opened the door. All that we need to do is walk in. So today I'd like to challenge you with a task. And the task is overcoming. It seems to me that the whole point of salvation is for us to walk in victory over evil, free from the power of sin, holy and blameless in the sight of God, so that we can be in an intimate relationship with him. But there's something that we must do. We have a part to play. There's a task at hand. There's a mission to accomplish. We're personally responsible to pursue holiness and godliness. In 1 Peter 1, it says, "But he, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" In order to be holy in our conduct, we must be holy in our heart. In Jeremiah 17, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind." In order for us to be holy in our conduct, we must overcome those issues in our heart. Our spirits are instantly transformed and counted as holy in the sight of God when we sincerely ask Jesus to come into our hearts and be our Lord and Savior. But then, from that point forward, from the inside out, the power of the Holy Spirit grows that holiness more and more so we become like Jesus. It's a process that's a lifetime journey. There are two battlefields that we face. Evil that comes against us from the outside in, and then evil that comes from the inside out. Two battlefields. We have a personal responsibility to overcome evil done to us and evil that comes from us. In Romans 12, it says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Today I want to focus on the evil that comes from us. Evil coming from us reveals two things. Number one, it reveals that our identity is established on something other than God. Maybe that coin. for that collector. Maybe a car, maybe a vehicle, maybe a job, maybe clothes, it may be who knows what. The second thing it reveals is character defects. There's something wrong inside of me. I have a shortcoming, I have a fault, imperfection. So let's take a look, if you would turn with me in your Bibles, to our key scripture today is Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 17. It's entitled, The New Man. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them. Ignorance simply means that they don't know. It doesn't mean they're stupid. It means they don't know, as we didn't know either. Because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. They're being past feelings, that's talking about their hearts have been hardened. Their conscience has been seared, so they don't feel the wrong in what they do. Carry on, verse 20, it says, but you, that's all of you, have not so learned Christ. For indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. And this is what I want to get to here, is that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What does it mean to overcome? It means to struggle, to overpower, and to be victorious. It means to win the fight. In order to win the fight, we must have three things. We must have the power of God. We must be willing to move where, when, and how the Holy Spirit leads us. And we must leave our comfort zones and reach for new godly ones. We have to learn to get comfortable with change, with struggle, putting the mission above ourselves. The mission God had for me, and I talk about alcohol because that was one of my big issues, but the mission God had for me was to go from alcoholism, being an alcoholic, to being sober. That was the mission. I had to put the mission above myself. Let's take a look at that scripture. I want to break it down a little bit, and the first part I want to look at is says, put off your former conduct of deceitful lusts. What does put off mean? Put off means turning away. It means repenting from the past behaviors, the things that you know are wrong. In a sense, it's like taking off, taking your clothes off and putting them off. I have a dog I like to take to the beach every now and then, but my dog hates the water. So I take the dog over down to the beach with the leash, and as soon as she sees that we're getting near the water, all four start like this. And she's digging into the sand. In fact, she pulled so hard, she pulled her collar right off her one time. She was putting off the water. She didn't want to go in the water. It was something that was unacceptable to her. We have to put the wrong things, the deceitful things, the bad, the old behavior and conduct, we have to put those things off. So this, the first part in this process is we have to do that. In Colossians 3, it says, but now you yourselves are to put off these things. And it gives us a list. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. We have to do that. It says, but you, that's us. That's our part in this play. The list is not exhaustive, and it's not limited to addictions. It can include anything that is not true, righteous, or holy. Addictions are simply an outward manifestation of inward issues. Please do not think that because you don't struggle with alcohol or drugs, that you have nothing to overcome. If you're not addicted to Jesus, then you're addicted to a false idol. Everyone has things to overcome. Jesus made it quite clear that the outward manifestation was not the problem. It's the inner issues of the heart that's the problem. Matthew 15 tells us, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These things are the things which defile a man. So Jesus made it very clear that it's the heart that is the issue. An interesting thing about this is that in order to put off the outward behaviors, we have to get to the root of the inner issues, which is in our heart. Greg, you have the picture of the iceberg? Remember the Titanic? Titanic was sunk by an iceberg. And if the movie portrayed it properly, they were running at full steam trying to break records and become famous. And the Titanic hit an iceberg. But an interesting thing about icebergs, the part that's above the waterline is about one third. That's not the part that sunk the Titanic. The part below the waterline is about two thirds. And that's where it ripped the ship and that caused it to sink. So in a similar way, our hearts are the part that's under the waterline. See, man looks at the outside. You see me from the outside, but God sees my heart. He sees underneath the waterline. He sees what's going on inside of me. Like a computer program. You get a computer program, you put it in your computer, it's got an operating system. All you see is the screen. You can't see what's operating it behind the scenes. God is talking about getting to that operating system, getting to the root and cause of the problems. What's the root and cause? Our hearts are deceitful and wicked in every way. We may not think so, but that's what God says.